Hi, this is Todd Herman. This is a quick message to Republicans who consider themselves leaders. Do you guys understand that we don't think you have at heart the ability to focus any longer on the things that really matter, that the structural things, a massive human rights crime that's been perpetrated against us, that you don't intend to do anything about it? I wonder, do you guys know, we understand gas prices are important. We also know there are structural problems and criminal-sized problems and, in fact, massive crimes against us that you're not willing to even talk about. Do you know what that does to voter turnout? Do you know what that eventually does to society? Are you even aware of this incredible disconnect between us? Do you even any longer spend any time thinking about the ways in which the laws you pass just are abhorrent to God Almighty? Do you spend any time with that? I would pray that you would start, because you guys are getting super jazzed to run on war and oil and war and oil.
The Todd Herman Show is 100% disapproved by big pharma, technocrats, and tyrants everywhere. Now, from the high mountains of free America, here's the Emerald City Exile, Todd Herman.
Today is the day the Lord has made, and these are the times through which God has decided we shall live. And I just do a second apology for the other day slipping and saying there's no such thing as 3 John. There is in the Bible a 3 John. It's so embarrassing. When you speak extemporaneously for 40 hours a week, sometimes you're going to screw up, and I screwed up on that one. So just another apology. Thank you now to my friend Tyler, Chad, other people have called that out. I love that you're keeping me honest, but also defending God's word. Thank you for that. So the thesis here of the whole hour and next hour is a defense. It's a defense of myself, but it's not an angry defense. And I don't feel the need to... I don't feel defensive. I want to clear some things up between the family, because there's some longtime listeners who are, one lady is going to take a break from the podcast because I've asked to see both sides of the story. I want to hear Vladimir Putin's point of view. Not that I think he's an okay guy. I don't. He's a thief and a murderer and a killer, and he's a tyrant. And Joe Biden is a tyrant. And big pharma are murderers, and I'm not saying it's the same. And I'm also quite capable of separating and of screening. I don't need the media to protect me from Vladimir Putin's words. I don't need their filter. So we're going to talk through that and some other areas of concern that people have about the show, because we'll do this from time to time, particularly when there's tough emails. But I want to get to this. The Republicans have found their comfort level, baby. Comfortable topics. There is this phrase in politics, the dinner table issue is what Democrats call it. Republicans often call it the bread and butter issue. You know, bread and circuses. Make sure that the people have got their bread and then give them their circuses. And certainly we can't afford as a nation to enter into $10 gas prices and inflation where it's at. Those are very real and material concerns for everybody. I mean, think of my partners at Bone Frog Coffee. They make this hour possible. Bonefrog.us. They ship coffee. It arrives somewhere, so their costs can go up. They have to bring in the raw materials from Bone Frog at bonefrog.us. It affects everybody. It affects us in our house payments. It affects you when you drive. It affects everything. That's energy is the base. Nothing is made without energy. So energy is the base cost of everything in terms of your non-human costs. So yes, it's an issue. But this is also a fact that core energy has been under attack for 15 years. And Republicans talk about our colleagues across the aisle are misled into believing that America can tax its way out of poverty and tax its way into prosperity, and that Americans are ready to have an electric car. No, it's so far beyond that. The effort is real to crash the system. It's a real effort to destroy core energy, to replace it with a flip of a switch. And it's a slow flip, but they intend to force you into electric vehicles through con jobs and blackmail, etc. Number one, because imagine the 200 million or more cars, 400 million cars in the United States. Imagine that all of a sudden people have to buy 400 million new cars. What does that do to our propped up economy? Republicans won't address this.
All right, our colleagues across the aisle are just deeply misled.
No, they have evil ideas, and it's not just them. Now it's you. Now, a bunch of you are on board with this. A bunch of you are on board with, I support the investment in clean energy, and I'm a Republican. Okay, well, then tell me how hydro is clean, and we can have these conversations all day long. They all go the same place. You're not willing to go to the fact that there are people who are working on destroying the structural fabric of America. We've talked about that culturally, but economically as well. You're not willing to talk about that. Why?
Well, you sound crazy, do you?
When we can go through in detail the fact of the effort to raise our energy costs for the past 15 years, how is that crazy making? But you can hear it in Steve Scalise's voice. And I know that Steve is sort of a sacred victim. He was shot. He fought very bravely for his life. I thank the Lord Almighty that Steve is not, I don't know how healthy he is. I think he's probably going to deal with the effects of those gunshot wounds for the rest of his life. And he does it bravely. I don't know Steve Scalise, never met him. I don't know his heart. I just know the party. And I know the Republican portion of the party. Because I used to work for the Republican portion of the party. Because I've spent time and in meetings with leadership. I understand the mindset. So Steve Scalise is on the TV. He's very comfortable. Here's what this is. This is Republicaning. Okay, this is them. He is doing what a shiny shoe does. He's on an issue they love. Here he is Republicaning.
Well, Stuart, I think you're seeing right now the pressure building intensely.
Yeah.
As families are paying over $6 a gallon for gasoline. I mean, people get irate when they see the price at the pump go over $100 and they're still just halfway through filling up their car. And the only answer you get from the Biden administration is, well, go buy an electric car, or it's somebody else's fault, or the dog ate your homework. People are fed up with the excuses. They know Biden's not drilling on federal lands. He talked about it as a candidate. He said he was going to shut off the ability for American oil and gas production. And so he's begging dictators. He was begging Putin to produce more oil. Now he's begging, whether it's Iran, Venezuela, stop begging dictators for more oil when the answer is under our feet right here in America. We can lower gas prices and take away Putin's leverage to fund this war in Ukraine.
Okay, fine. Check. Great. Good job, Republicaning. Joe Biden was a dictator. Still is with emergency powers. And Steve, that's a real issue. Gas prices. It's also controllable. Yes, bringing supply up will help. Yes, we were almost there. Yes, it's frustrating. Yes, it's anger making that on his first day in office, Biden's people forced him to make sure that gas prices went higher. That's by design. That's issue number one. But you aren't willing to talk about the truly important things. Where on earth are you on the fact that according to a U.S. military database tracking the COVID injections, Defense Medical Epidemiology Database, DMED, shows the following. In registered diagnosis with DMED from miscarriages, cancer, many conditions, this is from Dr. Paul Alexander, who's looked at the database, COVID injections are being tied to, and what else would cause this? You're seeing a 10-time increase in a 5-year average in neurological issues, people with brain issues. It was at 82,000. It's now at 863,000 people. 10 times the average of where it had been. Where are you on this? Where are you on the 40% increase in all-cause mortality? Where are you on what appears to be an 88% increase in the deaths of people who are millennial age? Where are you? Gas prices can come down. Only the Lord Jesus can bring people back to life, Steve. And yes, it's very frustrating and anger-making that we choose that the Biden's people have him purchasing, once again, energy from dictators. He's a dictator. Where were you calling that out? See, this is what I was saying at the beginning of the programming. You guys, the program, you guys don't get it. Or you're afraid to get it. There's this old saying, I'm trying to remember if it was Orwell who said this. That it's very difficult for a man to see the truth when his paycheck requires him not to see the truth. Oh, I don't know. Maybe Steve Scalise is just very, very, very passionate about gas prices. This is John Cornyn on Twitter. John Cornyn, he's a rock-ribbed conservative, very conservative man. In fact, I would go so far as to say he's harshly conservative. Romney. Romney said, I'm a severe conservative. What? Not conservative. I'm a severe conservative. John Cornyn tweeted a quote by Elie Wiesel. Always take sides. Neutrality helps the oppressor, never the victim. Silence encourages the tormentor, never the tormented. Daniel Horowitz called him out exactly the right way. Danny Horowitz wrote, that's exactly how we felt when democracy was sacked here at home for 2 years. Why is it only you only find a moral compass on foreign conflicts? Boom. This goes back to my discomfort with the run-up to this war. They want us in a war. I fully believe it. They had no game when Americans had their businesses stolen. When kids were driven to suicide, there are still, to this day, right now, there are active duty military and retired military being told that they must get injected to keep their jobs. Where are you on this? You'll sprint to a TV camera to talk about gas prices. Where are you on the rest of this? There's a 39-year-old veteran when he was 18, he was involved in an attack and he helped defend against the attack. And it grievously injured his body. It was in Qatar, U.S. airstrikes. And it was there. This is during the response to 9/11. And Chad Carswell, he was barely 18 during Operation Enduring Freedom, and that impacted his body deeply. So now he needs a kidney transplant. But the entities that get to control kidney transplants, which appear to be funded by Pfizer and AstraZeneca and Moderna, oh, look at that. They won't let him get a transplant unless he gets injected with a medically useless, dangerous gene sequencing substance. Guess what? He can't get uninjected. Gas prices can be brought down with an election. He can't be uninjected. And the people who force him to get injected are still forcing others to get injected. And they're entwined throughout our bureaucracy. Pfizer has no place having any input on who gets an organ. None. AstraZeneca has no place in that. It should be left to a state-by-state basis who gets them. It should be left into as close a control from the people as possible as to who gets them. I feel angry about this stuff because we only have two parties functionally in this country. One of them needs to remember that there were so few moments where the Lord Jesus showed any anger. The most famous, of course, is when he went to overturn the tables in the temple. And his motivation for that, in fact, you'll hear this girl from Canada, she clearly wrote out the statement and memorized it, but she goes through and just dewires the corruption of the banking system in Canada, which it looks an awful lot like the corruption of the banking system here. She quite correctly points out the fact that the people who were selling animals for animal sacrifice in the temple, they were jacking up the rates. They were making you use temple money. And, oh, you're sorry, I think that's a blemish on your goat. You're going to need to buy a temple goat. Incidentally, you need to exchange your money. And here's the exchange rate today. There was a lot to the money changing in the temple. It was a manipulation. It was also, as the Lord Jesus said, look, you've turned my father's house into a farmhouse. Well, having Pfizer and AstraZeneca and Moderna have any input onto who gets an organ transplant? Why? So they can say only if they get injected with our garbage. Steve Scalise, where are you on this? See, if we let them sweep away the COVID, which is what the Republicans deeply, deeply want, they want COVID to disappear. Just as they're not willing to talk about the true nature of what's being done to our economy. He'll talk about the gas prices. But to really talk about the economy, you need to turn to, well, Zach Abraham. Zach will join us Friday. But what if we just turn to a 12-year-old girl in Canada? What if she has the explanation? I don't know her age. I'm guessing she's 12. And if she's older, I apologize if she's younger. I don't know. You'd apologize then. I just remember when I was 12 and someone would say, what are you, 12? I'd want them to say, I'm 16. And I remember that was a big deal. It's clearly, this is a memorized statement. And it could be that her parents are programmed her into thinking this. By the way, she's also at an event to favor public banking. I don't agree with her approach to solve the problem. And as I listen through this, shouldn't this be being said by every member of Congress who is in any way small government? But no, it won't be. And it won't be because I remember, I'm sorry if this is a repeat, but this made such a big impression on me. During the first Tea Party event in Washington, D.C., when I was living back there and was the chief digital strategist at the RNC, I remember that there were these signs that said audit the Fed. My wife loved the Tea Party events. She went to those and she met people and our daughter went to some of those. And we never told our daughter, hey, hold this sign and say these things. I just find that abhorrent. So our daughter was in school most of the time, but my wife went to these events. She met great Americans. And there were all these signs that said audit the Fed. And I remember going in on a Monday morning. I'd been to the Tea Party stuff. I thought, we're the Republican National Committee. Surely everybody went to this. So I show up Monday morning and people say, yeah, how was your weekend? Oh, it was incredible. I went down and met a lot of people who were here for the Tea Party event. And the look on their faces, this guy, and incidentally, he's a sweet man. He's truly, truly one of the sweetest, nicest men I've ever known. His name is Kevin. And he's not capable of harm. He's not. He's not a harmful man. In fact, you know what? He's a humble man, truly. In Washington, D.C., that's hard to find. He's a humble and he's a thoughtful man. And he's you know what he is? He's a servant leader type. I never talked to him about his faith. I regret that because I bet he's a man of faith, but he's a very, very, very nice man. I'm not here to say he's not a nice man. And I'm not here to say he's malignant. In fact, in terms of DC, he was one of the nicest people I met. And there were a number of nice people. But being nice doesn't make it possible. It doesn't mean that you see things. Being nice doesn't make you aware. It doesn't make you awake. Sometimes being nice is the easiest way to put people to sleep. Hey, be nice. Hey, be nice. We're to tell truth with grace. But sometimes that does not come across as nice. So I'm saying this in the meeting, and Kevin said, you went to that? I said, absolutely. Because those people are crazy. And I said, well, why would you say they're crazy? And it was weird because he's a nice guy, and I'd never heard him call names before to call people crazy. So I'll tell you what he said was crazy. Then he got to hear this girl from Canada and tell me why we don't have Republicans saying this. Or at least conservatives. Is there anyone who's pointing out what this young woman's about to point out? This girl? Oh, this weekend, man. I was so jazzed. So, you know what's funny? Let me tell you something. Oh, gosh, that's awful. That sounded awful. Hey, let me tell you something. Slipping up. I'd like to share this with you. I think I mentioned over the weekend that I met a bunch of people who are going to go undertake the soda weight loss program. And the soda weight loss program is best in the business, state of the art. And there's also this, they have a fascinating use of language. One of the things they don't say is lost weight or lose weight. They think of it this way. To drop unwanted pounds. Now, the reason they do this is upon the founding of Soda Weight Loss, it started with one location, guys, and then it blossomed into seven so quickly. And that one location, they were born and bred in conservative Dallas, Texas. When they started to notice that there were people crossing state lines, like from Oklahoma and Alabama and Arkansas, to come in and lose weight with them, like this light bulb went off. Like, why are we not doing a national program? We're this good at it. At Soda Weight Loss, S-O-T-A, weightloss.com, stands for state of the art. They had this idea. What if we showed people what it's like to carry 20 pounds? And so one of the doctors who founded this brought to work this 20-pound bags of, I forget, like rice or something. Now, that doesn't seem like a lot. I mean, those of us who lift a little weight, hey, what's a 20-pound dumbbell? It's not a dumbbell. It's a bag of stuff. It's different. Go pick up a 40-pound sandbag. Go pick up a 60-pound sandbag. Go pick up a 150-pound sandbag and throw that over your shoulder. Carry it around. Right? Then drop it. Now, think of this. You pick up 150 pounds of sand and you carry it around. How anxious are you going to be to drop it? Because it's unwanted. Think of what that stress on your arms. Then imagine that stress is there every second of the day on your joints, on your heart, liver, and kidneys. Now, just picture dropping it. And all the other things you can do. The average man who goes to Soda Weight Loss, S-O-T-A, weightloss.com, finds out they have 80 pounds to lose to not be at risk. The reason it works so well is everybody gets a nutritionist who works with them directly because the program is designed to keep the weight off because they help you stay accountable. Because by not having to drive to the office and back, they can spend more time with you. My wife is on the program. We'll be getting her update later this week. It was 5 pounds gone last week. And a whole bunch of people, four people this weekend, are joining Soda at sodaweightloss.com. S-O-T-A. It stands for state of the art, and it is sodaweightloss.com. So we're in the conference room, and I said, did you go to this event? Did you go to this event over the weekend, Kevin? And I said it to the other people. This was the Tea Party event. And this super nice servant leader guy said, you went to that? I said, absolutely. It was fantastic. He goes, those people are crazy. And I'd never heard Kevin call names before. I said, why would you say that? He goes, Todd, they want to audit the Fed. They want to audit our nation's banking system. Yeah, Kevin, they do. We audit our finances here. In fact, we pay outside groups to audit our finances. In fact, we pay two groups. One to audit the auditors. Every public company at which I've ever worked has auditors. We used to get from time to time retention notices at Microsoft. And it would come from the legal department Do not delete any files on the following business deal. It's being audited. And failure to comply could mean you're fired. Do not delete. We'd audits, quarterly audits. When I was running startups that were VC-backed, venture capital-backed, we had audits. We had auditors. Because our investors wanted to know, hey, are these guys being cool with the money? See, Kevin is a nice man. He is a servant leader, and he is a creature of DC. He can't see it. I don't know that Steve Scalise can see it. I don't know that they can smell their own stink, and I know that's a blunt way to say it. But if you ever leave your house and you go on vacation at the beach for 6 weeks and you come home and you open your door, you go, wow, we smell like that? You know I'm right. We smell this way? We got to clean this house. So to the Republicans, your treasury are thieves. They're inventing money. They're conjuring it from thin air, and then they're using it to launder it. They launder fake money into real assets. They used fake conjured money to pay off debt for the richest companies on earth who got 40 to 60% richer during the politically motivated, politically targeted lockdowns and destruction of small businesses. And you guys won't speak a word about this. And by the way, I guarantee you, this is what a political strategist will tell you in Washington, D.C. The conversation would go like, I would just make that point. Are we not going to talk about this? We're not going to talk about the Fed and what they did with this money. We're not going to talk about the fact that they broke the law and that they transferred this wealth. And it would go like this. Well, pal, you know, I understand. I think it's wrong, too. I really do. You know, I'm a taxpayer. I think it's wrong, too. But this is a complicated thing to communicate, pal. You know, I mean, the Americans don't understand what the Federal Reserve is in the first place. So to go and explain quantitative easing to them, how do you say that, sport? And, you know, in a debate, how do you say that in a debate, sport? We need to be able to get folks' attention so we can work on issues like that. And you know what gets your attention is gas prices, sport. So that's why we're going to go out. Yeah, we're going to run on gas prices are high because it gets attention. How do I put, show me how I put together a TV ad to show the Federal Reserve did that. And maybe we can talk, but you know, that's why we talk about bread and butter issues. Nepal, you got it? Got it? I agree with you, though. I'm a taxpayer. I screwed up as ever. My response would be this. You run an ad where a magician waves his hand and pays off the debt of Facebook, Walmart, investment banks, and then the debt appears in the hands of the American people. That's what I'd do. I would say, do you get to invent money to pay off your debt? Do you get to type zeros into a computer and say, hey, I paid off my house? Why does the Federal Reserve get to do that? Why does the Treasury get to do that? Why does BlackRock get to do that effectively? Why? Because they're mobbed up. And hey, if that doesn't suffice, what if we just have this 12-year-old girl explain it? What if her explanation is better than all of ours? Huh, I didn't plan it this way. This is interesting. I truly didn't. Bulwark Capital Management's a great example. Zach explains these things for a living. He has a show called Know Your Risk Radio. He's the chief investment officer of Bulwark Capital Management, and he's a truth teller. There are a bunch of people, I met him this weekend, who've reached out to Zach to help determine if they can retire now. What would be the advantage of that? Well, if you retire now, the money that they're vesting for you, right, that they're holding on for you and they're investing, now that becomes more like your money. You can take that money and you can manage it in the way you see fit. My suggestion is turn it over to Zach Abraham at Bulwark Capital Management. First step is to find out if you can retire, because retiring early, man, that's risky. And Bulwark Capital Management is built around risk management. Part of risk management is, sure, make sure that you earn money on money. The other part of risk management is make sure you get your capital investment back, or your investment back at all, right? So don't lose. That's part of managing risk. So what they'll do is Zach and his team will look at the numbers and they'll go at it with a dispassionate mathematical point of view. Can you retire now? Here's how to make this happen with my friend Zach Abraham and Bulwark Capital Management. Just call them. Here's a simple phone number, 866-779-RISK. That's 866-779-RISK, or go to knowyourriskradio.com. Investment advice cannot be given without a client services agreement. Bulwark Capital Management is an investment advisor, representative of Trek Financial LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor. And this is what appears to be a 12-year-old girl explaining the Canadian banking system and how weird it seems a lot like our banking system. I wonder how such a thing would happen, that all the banking systems seem so much alike.
Allow me to explain how our private banks and government work today. First, the Canadian government borrows money from the private banks. They then lend the debtors money to Canada with compounded interest. The government then continues to increase taxation of Canadians year after year in order to pay back the interest on the exponentially growing national debt. What results is inflation, less real money for Canadians to spend into our economy, and the real money being used to pad the pockets of the banks. Also, the government gave the banks the ability to loan out money that doesn't exist in the form of loans. When a bank gives you a mortgage, which literally means a death pledge, or a loan, they don't actually give you money. They click a key on a computer and generate the fake money out of thin air. They don't actually have it in their bank vaults. Presently, the banks only have $4 billion on reserve, but they have loaned out over $1.5 trillion. To quote Graham Towers, each and every time a bank makes a loan, a new bank credit is created. New deposits, brand new money. Broadly speaking, all new money comes out of a bank in the form of loans. As loans are debt, then under the present system, all money is debt. What I find interesting is even Jesus in Matthew 21 drove out the money changers in the temple because they were manipulating the currency to steal money from the people. The private banks are just like the money changers in Matthew 21. They are defrauding and robbing the people of Canada, thus their freedom, and they need to be stopped. How should the banking system work?
So her suggestion, and it's the suggestion of a lot of people with a leftist mindset, is we'll just give the whole thing to the government. Yeah, concentration of power is a bad idea. Because power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. And when you add to that unbounded greed and the worship of money, because it is not money that's the root of all evil, it's the worship of money. It's making money an icon, that it comes between you and God Almighty. That's the problem. The ultimate solution, I've come to believe, and this is quite a reversal for me, I do believe the ultimate solution would be private currencies. And let the best private currency win. How would it be the best private currency? Well, it would be based on real things. If it must be a government currency, it has to be based upon things that exist. And this is easy to test. There's this old saying, everybody hates a redneck till their car breaks down. I used to have a friend who he was great at fixing cars. and he had bumper strips. That's what he did. He was a mechanic. And I can't remember the name of his mechanic shop, but it said, everybody hates a redneck till the car breaks down. And that's a true thing, man. Hey, my car, everybody hates people with big trucks till they need to move from their house. Everybody hates a dentist till they need a tooth pulled. Well, everybody thinks the money matters until the society collapses. Or until there's a God forbid disaster. So God forbid there's a natural disaster. You gonna reach for your dollar bills? If there's a long-term disaster, you're going to reach for that. When they convert us to a global currency, a digital currency, it's based on what? Power. There's no base asset. The only things of true intrinsic value are things made by God, period. I mean, the fiat currency of all fiat currency is that's worth that digital coin I gave you. That's worth a house. Who says I do? And I've got all the guns. So I'm going to give you that digital coin. You're going to give me the place you live and the place where you guard your family. Why? Because I've got all the guns. So that's the deal. Take it or leave it. The currency of the pirate was their flag. The pirate flag was the greatest, most indelible brand in the world at the time. Because if you're out on the open ocean and you see a ship approach you and you're trying to figure out friend or foe and they fly the pirate flag, here's what that flag means. You can try to run, but we're faster. You can try to fight, but we've got more guns. You can try to resist, in which case we'll kill everybody and take your women and your children and we're still going to get your stuff. And we're always going to leave a couple of you alive to tell the story so that you can take your crippled lifeboat and say, these people came and they had this black flag and it was a skull and crossbones and they did this to us. Or you can make it easier and we're going to board your ship. We're going to take your things. We're going to take people we choose to take, but not everybody, and we might not even kill people. That was the indelible brand. That's what it meant. What was the value then of the money? What was the value then of your bank account? When you have the National Treasury, the Secretary, Treasury of the United States, putting up the pirate flag. Yeah, we're breaking the law. Yeah, we're handing out money to our partners in crime. Sure. What are you going to do? I've come to believe, okay, so you get to digital currency. It has to be back with something real. So what is it? Is it land? That in a parallel society, we create a land-based digital currency, then only landowners can participate? Do we base it upon labor? Do we base it upon gold? Because if it's based upon the dollar, it's chicanery. But we're not going to hear this from Republicans. They won't even get to, and I understand this next issue that they won't get to it, because it's a risky issue to cover. But it is far beyond just January 6th. And so few Republicans will have anything to do with this. And I understand the calculus. Look, everybody thinks it was a terrorist attack. There were people who did bad things. It's unfortunate that they're in political prison, but we can't do anything about it because that would harm our election chances. That's playing into the hands of the Democrats. That's exactly the way the conversation goes. Hey, we have an event coming up, and it is an event I'm so pleased to do with my friend Julie. And Julie does social media for us here on the show. She's also, by the way, a really, really talented speaker and organizer. She also has in her background putting on events for women in politics. She's got a group called Conservative Ladies of Washington. And she is putting on an event that she and I are going to do together. It's May 20th. And it exists. It's going to be in Bothell, Washington. Okay. There's tickets available for this. And now this is in May. I found out this morning that we are kind of 20% sold already. So if you want to get into this, it'd be now. Go to the ToddHermanShow.com and click the events tab. So go to ToddHermanShow.com, or the faster way to do that is to type in the ToddHermanShow.com/events. This is going to be in Bothell, May 20th, 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. We may need to go longer because we have a whole bunch of people who want to come and speak, and they're very cool people. We'll let you know if that happens. Tickets are $20, and I'm going to be there. Julie's going to be there, and I think we're going to get Zach Abraham to come. Dave the Digital is going to be there, and some other people are going to meet. Jesse Young is a true Christian conservative in Washington State. Jesse tells me he's going to be there. Jim Walsh is going to be there. The last event we did sold out. That was in Priest River, Idaho. This one in Bothell, Washington. So I hope to see you there. I hope we get an opportunity to meet you at the ToddHermanShow.com/events, or just go to the ToddHermanShow.com, top right-hand corner. You'll see an events tab. So Steve Scalise is on perfectly comfortable territory.
Well, Stuart, I think you're seeing right now the pressure building intensely as families are paying over $6 a gallon for gasoline. I mean, people get irate when they see the price at the pump go over $100 and they're still just halfway through.
Absolutely. True issue and fixable. Here's something that's not fixable and it's not addressed by Republicans because it's scary. This is the conversation that would happen if you wanted to talk about January 6th. Okay, there's been some people who've pled guilty. A former Virginia police officer has pled guilty. His name is Jacob Fracker, formerly with the Rocky Mount Police Department, took a plea deal under which he several charges will be dismissed. So he's saying, yep, I admitted I went in to stop the counting of electoral votes. So he's going to be sentenced based upon this decision to plead guilty to this in this plea deal. So he did that they got him in that. One would assume perhaps he's been completely pressured into this because that's what they're doing. But this is a altogether different case for a young man who did nothing. And the feds hunted him down and the feds chased him and the feds labeled him a domestic terrorist. And in his home, he was labeled a domestic terrorist. And where he lived, he was labeled a domestic terrorist. He was told he's not going to work. He's not going to have a social media presence. You're not going to work. You're not going to get into schools. You're not going to get into colleges. You're done with the military. You want to be a cop. You can't be a cop. So what did he do? We'll get to that because his aunt explained when Marjorie Taylor Greene was there. If I was to go suggest in a Republican meeting, guys, we've got political prisoners who've been in prison now for a year and a half. Some of them weren't even accused of any violent acts. They're being let out of their cell once per day, right? And there's no charges. You don't get to hold people this long with no charges in the United States. Are you telling me there's nothing we can do about this? Oh, champ, I think that's wrong too. You know, I think a lot of those guys are just patriots. And look, buddy, I understand they didn't go to an insurrection or something, but see, this is playing into the hands of the Democrats, champ. They want to make this about January 6th. So we'll wait till after the election and make a strong case on this. And okay, you're right. Politically. When I was in prison, you didn't come and visit me. When I was hungry, you did not feed me. But Lord, when did we see you in prison or hungry? I tell you, as you treat the least of these, so you treat me. Does that mean that every single prisoner should be released? No. But political prisoners? Republicans won't touch this. You can say, let's pretend everybody they're holding deserves it. Did the lady they kicked to death deserve that? Because she was kicked to death on video. And then they drug her lifeless body around. She wasn't inside the Capitol. She was in a tunnel. Did Ashley Babbitt, who tried to stop the vandalism, who begged for police assistance to stop the riot? Did she deserve to be shot in the head with no warning? Well, champ, that's just it's a complicated case to make. It is. And sometimes the hard thing is the right thing. And hey, Republicans, shiny shoes and otherwise, if you're not willing to make the case, maybe just let her aunt make
Jerry it. Jerry Perna. I am Matthew Perna's aunt. His obituary, which went viral, was written by me because I wanted to make sure that at least one honest article was written about him after over a year of the media printing lies and spreading false information about him and the events that took place on January the 6th, 2021. Although Matthew Perna may have taken his last breath on February 25th, his death began in January 2021 after he was arrested, and a nightmare like no other began. It affected everyone in our family, but we stood by his side proudly. Matt walked through an open door into this Capitol building, a monument that has been called the People's House. Standing here in front of this building does not give me a sense of pride, but instead is replaced with a feeling of shame. He did not break through any barriers. He walked in while Capitol police officers stood to the side. If he was not permitted inside the building, why did they stop him and others like him and turn them away? He chanted USA, USA, as he recorded with his cell phone, making sure to stay within the velvet ropes. He harmed no one. He broke nothing. He stole nothing. He entered the Capitol almost 45 minutes after Congress had adjourned and evacuated. Yet he was charged with obstruction of Congress, a felony that drastically escalated the seriousness of his situation. The January 6th protesters were hunted down like dogs and arrested. This same urgency for justice never existed before. The violent protests in our cities in 2020 resulted in far more damage and injury, all in the name of social injustice, which went completely unpunished.
I started the show with a direct address to Republicans, and so I will hope to wrap it that way. If they can do that to Matthew Pena, and they did, they can do it to you. If they can store people without charges for a year and a half, they can store anybody that way. If the FBI is allowed to help, not stage, but help bring about an event like this in the U.S. Capitol, because they did, because they had their handlers talking to people as they entered the Capitol, they knew what they were doing. They helped this about. If they can do that on the U.S. Capitol to destroy any chance, as they see it, of President Trump being president again, which they have not achieved, but they can try that. They can do anything. If Fauci can order people to get injected with garbage that kills them, and he's never held to account, he'll keep doing it. His successor, Rachel Walensky, will do it. Rochelle Walensky will do it. Guys, I don't give a stinking hoot about your Republican Party. I don't care. My priorities are God, country, family, work, and friends. Or, as Bone Frog says, God, country, team, because I just described in the last bit of that, my team. Your elections aren't going to matter. Let me say it very clearly for you so you will understand. Your 2 to 4 to 6 year election cycles aren't going to matter. If you don't go to the source of the people who are doing this to our country, if you don't recognize that we wrestle not just with flesh, but with spirits and principalities, then it doesn't matter a bit. But that will require you to remember there is something far greater than yourself. That will require you to no longer have politics as an icon and donors as apostles. This is the Todd Herman Show. Man, I appreciate you and your support and your kindness and your prayers for my continued recovery from surgery. Coming up, some of the hardest notes I've gotten from some supporters of the show. Now, go be well, be strong, be kind, and yes, yes, let's all work together to be grateful for what the Lord continues to give us on every single day basis.